book I wrote not too long ago, What Doth Hinder Me to Be Baptized? Is there anything that can hinder you from being baptized? Would you stand? Reading aloud. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and beheld a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch, of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near, and join thyself to his chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? For he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this, He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down, both of them, into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. The eunuch went on his way rejoicing. After you have been water baptized, you should go on your way rejoicing. Let's pray. Father, we ask you now to give us information, give us understanding concerning water baptisms. Lord, as I am about to baptize a few, I ask you, Lord God, to bless us. Bless this time that we'll understand some truth, something that maybe we didn't have before. And as we enter those waters of baptism, that, Lord God, there will be a truth that will permeate us. As we come up in a resurrection of new life, that we can go away rejoicing. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated. Be seated. This passage is an extremely unique passage. There's no other passage like this passage in all of the Scriptures. What was happening, let me give you just a little context. Philip had been began a tremendous revival in Samaria. In Samaria, there was this huge revival that he was sort of shepherding. They had had John and Peter come up, and they were receiving the Holy Ghost, and people were getting saved and water baptized, and it was just a tremendous, tremendous revival going on. Well, what God did, what the Lord did, is he said, Philip, I want you to stop what you're doing, and I want you to go down to Ethiopia. I want you to go down to Gaza, and there you're going to find an Ethiopian. And you know, the thing I want us to grasp here is that understand sometimes God will stop you from doing what you think is so important just to go minister to somebody. Realize he's in this huge revival. He's in this huge move of the Spirit of God in Samaria. People are just getting saved left and right and getting water baptized. But you know, God stopped all of that just to send him to one guy and to this one guy for one purpose. He didn't preach. He didn't teach him. He didn't mature him in the Lord. One specific reason did he go to Gaza for this guy. And what was that reason? To water baptize. I want you to realize how important it is to the Lord that we're water baptized. No other passage, no other place in the Scriptures do we read anything. This is such a unique passage and such a unique set of Scriptures. And I want to draw just a couple of things here from it. First of all, he went to see this man, but he wasn't just a man. He was an Ethiopian man. Now, Philip was up here in Samaria, and he went all the way down to Gaza, which is like 90 miles on a straight line. But he wouldn't have went a straight line. He would have had to go through the roads and traveling on donkey back or however that he would have gotten there. And he would have went, and it would have been over a 100-mile journey. Now, to you or I today, that's not that far. And it doesn't take that long. But in his day, that was several days of journey. That was some tough times. And so he heads down, and he goes down to Gaza, and there he finds this man. But he's not just a man. First of all, it says that he's a man from Ethiopia. And Ethiopia is a nation in the northeast corner of Africa. And this man had come up from Ethiopia into Jerusalem there to worship. And he was on his way back down to Ethiopia when God had Philip intercept him. Now, again, let me make sure that we understand. God's going to stop us sometimes to go and minister to people. You with me? But also, God will stop other people sometime to come and minister to us. And he might not be like you. This Ethiopian didn't look like Philip. First, he was from another nation. He was from another country. He had another way of thinking. There was a different lifestyle. And everybody that's going to come and minister to you or I, or everybody that we minister to, is not going to think like we think. And they're not going to look like we look. Philip was a Jew. A Jew's skin is bronze, not Caucasian like most of us, but bronze. But this Ethiopian was black. He was a black man. Now, hey, it's okay if you go minister to a black person, but can you have a black person come minister to you? Especially if he's sent for God. You see, we've got to come to a place of understanding that in God's economy, He sees everybody the same. Now, I want to show you some scriptures because we have a problem with this. We have a problem with this. First of all, let's settle this in our hearts and in our minds that God's, in God's economy, there is not male nor female. There's not Jew nor Gentile. There is not bond nor free. There's no Ethiopian or Jew. There is no Haitian nor American. There is no difference. Say that back to me. There is no difference in God's economy. Say the whole thing. There is no difference in God's economy. Now, I really want us to get this. I really want us to get this because there's going to be times in all of our lives where somebody's going to come and minister to us, and they may not be of the same nationality. They may not look like us, may not act like us, but God sent them. And if we're not ready to receive that, we're going to miss something wonderful happening in our lives. Now let's look at a couple of scriptures really quick. Galatians 3:27, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Let's stop there a second. What is he saying here? This whole context, and we quote this scripture so oftentimes, but he's really concerning baptism. Do you realize that by baptizing, being baptized, we're putting on Christ? The thing of baptism is putting on Christ. Putting on Jesus. We've read scriptures, and we'll probably read some in a minute, but we're baptized into his death so that we can be raised into his resurrection. We're baptized into his name. We're raised into him. So he says the baptism aspect of this thing is putting on Christ. And then the next verse says, "There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus." See, God's economy, he's not gender specific. In God's economy, he wants all of us to understand that we are the same in him. In God's economy, listen, he's not going to look like us. He's not going to talk like us, but he's got something for us. I want us to grasp what we're trying to see here. Go to the next verse, the final verse. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Water baptism, when we're water baptized and we're raised into that newness of life, we cannot afford to allow differences even in gender. We've got to be able to receive from, if we're a woman, we've got to be able to receive from the man. And if we're a man, we've got to be able to receive from a woman, because there's neither male nor female. If I'm an American, I have got to allow a Haitian to minister to me. I don't care. You've got to understand there's neither nationalities in Christ Jesus. Because once we're born, baptized into Him, we become Abraham's seed. And there's neither Jew nor Gentile. And we hear this thing all the time of how special the Jewish people are to God. Listen, they are. But they're no more special than the American or the Ethiopian or the Haitian. Because in water baptism, when we come up, we're all the same. We're all the same. We're Abraham's seed. Abraham's seed are no longer from a little people in a little nation over there along the Mediterranean. Abraham's seed are everywhere. He said, I will make you as the stars of the heaven and as the sand of the sea. You won't be able to count, you guys, because there are so many. Next one. Romans 10:12. I'm here to tell you today, there is no difference. What does Paul say? For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. What does that simply mean? Simply means this. He's going to give me what He's going to give a Jew. He's the same rich to me as He is to anybody else. Now, if that's not right, He shouldn't have baptized that Ethiopian. And so what we begin to see in God's economy is that God loves us all. And what we've got to be able to do is receive ministry from people that aren't like us, that don't have the same skin tones, don't have the same nationality. So this man was a man from Ethiopia, right? He was from a different nation. But there's more about this man than he's an Ethiopian. He was also an Ethiopian eunuch. Now, we know what that means. He's castrated. Just go ahead and say it so we won't have to. He's been castrated. Now, Jesus says this. Jesus said, everybody can't understand this, but there are people that are born eunuchs. There are people that are made eunuchs of men. And there are people that make themselves eunuchs for the kingdom's sake. Now, this particular Ethiopian eunuch was not born a eunuch. And neither was he made a eunuch for the kingdom's sake. He didn't make himself a eunuch for the kingdom's sake. This individual was altered surgically. He had a surgical alteration to who he was and what he was. Did that hinder him from being baptized? Did that hinder him from being raised into Christ? I got to tell you a story. Years ago, we had a pastor friend that pastored a church around the Atlanta area. And Judy and I went to one of the services one night. And after the service, he had us go out to eat with him and some people from his church. Well, we sat down at the table, and right across from us at the table was this woman. And began to notice that she had some very huge hands. And her voice was very deep. And so when I had an opportunity, I asked my pastor friend, I says, what's the story with this lady? And he told me, he said, well, she was a man, but she had some surgical alterations that made her a woman. And she knew that God was drawing her and dealing with her heart. And she began to look around trying to find a church that would receive her. And nobody would until she found me. We received her. We preached Jesus to her. We got her water baptized. And now she's one of our most faithful members. Did that hinder the Ethiopian eunuch from being water baptized? Talk to me now, because I'm not done yet. I'm going to ask you a question. How does God feel about that Ethiopian? Did He love him? People that have these alterations, surgically alterations today, does God love them? See, if there's neither male nor female, it doesn't matter. Now, whether that's right or wrong is between the individual and God. I'm trying to show you something here. It doesn't hinder you to be baptized. It doesn't hinder you from coming into the Christ. Now, let me kick it up a level. How does God feel about the homosexual? Now, let me make sure you hear what I'm saying. I'm not asking you, how does God feel about what the homosexual does? I'm very well aware of what Romans chapter 1 talks about. I'm very well aware of what man with man and women with women work into that person and what that does. I'm not asking you, how does God feel about what the homosexual does? What I'm asking you is, how does God feel about that homosexual? And you see, we build up these walls because one day a homosexual may come to you and want to minister to you, or a eunuch, or a person who's had a sex change. How do you respond? Monday you may have to go and minister to someone that is a homosexual or that has had a sex change. Can you do it? Where are you in your level of growth? Philip went, stopped what he was doing, which was very important. Went 100 miles on foot, ministered to this person from another nation who didn't look like him at all, but was a eunuch on top of all of that. Where are we? Where is the church today? Are we still walking in the KKK thing? Are we risen into a realm where we understand that when you're baptized into Christ? Yeah. And when you come out of that water, you've been circumcised in your heart. You've been brought into the family of Abraham. You're a child of God. Now it's time for God to deal with them about specifics. My job is to baptize you. My job is to go to Gaza. My job is to make sure that I don't care who you are, what you are, where you're from. I don't care what's happened in your past or will ever happen in your future. My job is to baptize you. So the Ethiopian eunuch came and he understood Philip preached to him Jesus, and he says they came to some water, and he says, there's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? What doth hinder me? Well, Philip said, well, you're a eunuch. I can't baptize you. You are a eunuch. Is that what he said? It's not what he said? Well, what did Philip say? What could hinder him from being baptized? What did Philip say? Yeah. Well, if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you're cool. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. The only thing that can hinder the difference, hear me, the difference of these people that I'm about to baptize, the difference of them being baptized or just getting wet, is do they believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? I've baptized people and they just got wet. They came up the same person, just wet. I've baptized people and they came up totally different. There was a newness of life. They went away joyful and having fun and enjoying their life in Christ. That's a baptism. The eunuch went away rejoicing. Philip said, well, if you just believe with all your heart, you may. The Ethiopian immediately responded. And here's the question to all of you candidates for baptism today. Here is the thing that I'm asking you. Do you believe? And here must be your response. If it's really your, other than just getting wet, here's what you must respond. And he answered, the eunuch answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's what it took. Didn't matter if he was a eunuch, didn't matter if he was an Ethiopian, didn't matter anything about what he had ever done or what he will ever do in the future. What matters is, does he believe that Jesus is the Christ? If you believe that, you are a candidate for baptism. If you don't, we're just going to get wet. Amen. We're going to baptize right now. I've got some more stuff I'd love to share with you about the baptism. We wrote it in a book. We're going to get some more made. So if you want some of the copies of what we've seen in water baptism, it'd be a great thing for you to read. We're going to get ready now. I want to play something, sing something. You guys who will be baptized, be changing clothes. I'm going to go change my pants, and I'll meet you at the baptismal pool.